Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm Davis Maddock, joined today by the winner of BBM2, the first man, I'm pretty sure the first man to win $1 million playing best ball, fantasy football, Liam Murphy. You guys know him from winning BBM, from appearing on Ship Chasing, and now you're a tout, you're making the rounds, you're giving away all the goods. I actually think if you were to argue like touting and its impact on your ROI, best ball's got to be like the lowest impact on your ROI, because people are still going to think they know better. Like, I think that's the interesting thing about best ball, is everyone thinks their strategy is the nuts, and they're just like, bro, enough slates and I'll win.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting, because like, I do think touting best ball, like there are a couple very influential people, especially now with all the, like, you got Spike Week, you got Ship Chasing and just Pete, you got you, Pat Corain and whatnot. And
buddy, you're skipping over the biggest impact on ADP, which is establish the run. I mean, we love them. But just in anything that could be considered niche in any way, USFL, the XFL, when they had it, NBA, like they are influencing ownership and strategy so much, to the point that like Rashad Perryman was cut by the Detroit Lions last year, and he had a top 180 ADP the entire way, because a huge chunk of the player pool was just downloading the ETR. I mean, Pete was doing it, right? He's like, I download the ETR ranks, I put them in, and I draft off those. And I'm not even saying that's bad. I'm just saying it's very important to be cognizant of who you're drafting against.
And I love the Establish the Run content. Like I listen to them.
Of course, it's so good. Yeah.
Yeah, them as well. It's like interesting from my point of view, because like, obviously I don't want to like educate someone to beat me. You know, there's like close to no incentive for that, but I'm not foolish enough to think that I'm going to run pure and take down, you know, like another milli maker in a year. So whatever, like I have some takes that I think are sharp. I'm willing to give them the way. Breaking into townie just sounds fun.
That's what gets lost in the conversation about like, oh, I can't believe this guy turned out. Like, you know, there's the debate with Rufus right now. Like, and Rufus was tweeted this yesterday. He's like, you know, I was against this for a long time. I still don't know how I feel about it. And I that conversation missed the most important element of touting, which is it's just fun. It's just fun to hop on shows, and the writing is maybe not as fun, but the shows, I mean, it's just fun.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm gonna start some YouTube channels here myself soon, and break into other content. I came down with COVID, so a little bit delayed on that, but you can follow me on Twitter and I'll drop it pretty soon here. But yeah, I mean, I'm willing to just, you know, talk about who I like. People are going to disagree with me. Like, I remember listening to you last year and, you know, like I would agree with some things you would say, and I would disagree with some of the things you would say, like, and we all have our own.
Well, you got one over on me. I told you were being way too aggressive with Gabe Davis, and I had to fucking eat it because I was wrong. I think your draft a Bills wide receiver every take this year has a sequel, which is just take one of Sky Moore, MVS, or Hardman in every draft, because one of those dudes is absolutely smashing their ADP. That's been my main take early on.
Yeah, I mean, it's really like, it's like a top-down approach if we think about that, where it's like, okay, which quarterbacks are going to throw for the most yards? And then like pretty lizard brain logic, let's take the pass catchers from those guys, right? So like clearly someone from the Chiefs is going to smash. Who knows if Kelsey's going to fall off a little bit.
I mean, if Kelsey gets hurt, it's like the floodgates are open for one of those dudes being like even being shitty, like even Hardman could play terrible, but just catch like 95 passes if Travis Kelsey gets hurt.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't like the, it's really interesting because the NFL meta changes each year, and so does the fantasy football landscape, like very drastically, which I don't think people really realize where,
yeah.
Like the meta wise, like, you know, so we saw this Cooper Kupp season, and I don't really know why Cooper Kupp was so unguardable and whatnot, but I feel like there's going to be some copycat with that, where
yeah,
like,
got to get our slot guy 150 touches because the Rams won the Super Bowl doing it. I mean, that is I've seen this take out there in the ether, which is Well, the grand take is sports become more boring when every team starts to use analytics, which I think is true, right? Look at baseball. Much more boring sport with everyone just trying to hit home runs. There's way more strikeouts. The game's less interesting. And I've seen that take for the NFL, which is that teams are throwing a lot more, but they're throwing in a really boring way because 7 yards on a slant is better than 3 yards on a rush. So lots of teams are just passing really short, not taking chances. I mean, we were literally all lamenting this with the Chiefs, right? They get their asses kicked by the Titans. They go into their bye week and then
cover two.
And then and they go in the bye week against the Titans, and they're basically a totally different offense coming out of the bye week where it's all underneath. They're throwing to the running backs a lot, which Mahomes never really did. And, you know, one bad half against the Bengals, but they almost made another Super Bowl changing their offense on the fly. And I think other teams are going to start doing that too. I think we're going to see lots of like the Bill Walsh, like 1983 49ers style offenses where it's just lots of short throws.
Mm. So like, take a Stephon Diggs in the Bills. Like I could see Buffalo trying to do Cooper Kupp things with him, you know, like play Gabe on the outside. And I want your, like, what are you doing with CEH and Rojo? What's your lean on the Chiefs backfield right now?
My lean is that Ronald Jones leads the backfield in touchdowns. Cause my thought would be year one, they did the best they could. He was so inefficient at the goal line that they started to play Darryl more, and then he got hurt. Year two, I think they came in with the best intentions. He gets hurt again. He comes back from injury and isn't very good. Darryl plays better. And then, I mean, by the AFC Conference Championship game, they were just like, we can't have this guy out here. We're playing 30-year-old Jerick McKinnon over him. And I think their plan is probably to run more, honestly,
yeah,
with no Tyreek. And that fits Ronald Jones's skill set better, just being in there on early downs and stuff. Like I'm taking CH some, like, for example, he's going after Miles Sanders, who, like, I might do 400 drafts this offseason. It might not take Miles Sanders once in any of these drafts, but like, I can't pretend to be excited. Even at like an eighth, ninth round cost, I can't even pretend to be excited about CEH.
Why are you so out on Miles Sanders? Cause I've been taking some.
So the Sanders thing is really interesting because you can take it one of two ways. One, you could go the fact that he had no rushing touchdowns last year is total bad luck, right? Kenneth Gainwell scores 6. Jordan Howard scores 5. Jalen Hurts runs for a bunch. And they had another guy in there too, who I am completely forgetting. Boston Scott had 6 yeah. touchdowns too. And then we hear the rumors that they don't want to pick up his 50 or they don't want to extend him. He's in the last year of his contract. And it's just like, I think guys who I'm taking at running back, and this is not a novel thought, I just want them to have a chance at being a bell cow. And like, that's just not happening in Philadelphia. There's no way, because one guy, Boston Scott, gets injured, it's Gainwell. You know, it's like there's just always going to be a multiple guy. And then, you know, Singletary, I liked last year and do like this year too, because it was all the theory of like, well, maybe Josh Allen stops running for every touchdown, which eventually happened. But I literally don't think the Eagles offense works if they take that away from Hurts. Whereas like, I think the Bills, Josh Allen was a good enough passer. Lamar Jackson, good enough passer that I think eventually they're running. Like I like Gus Edwards at cost, for example, but I don't think the Eagles offense works if you take away 7 rushing touchdowns a year from Jalen Hurts. Like I think it all just falls apart.
I'll give you my Bills take in a bit here, but yeah. I mean, for Miles Sanders, to me, it's just 2 years ago, he was a first round pick.
Yeah.
You know, last year he had a bunch of like weird injuries that are not exactly like,
I'm not even saying injury prone. They were, yeah, they were just all random.
And so, and I am just a believer in the Eagles offense. Like, I just think they're going to score.
Same.
And I'm not afraid of Jordan Howard. Like, is that guy 40 yet? Like,
I don't even think he's on the team anymore. I believe he's not.
So I'm just, you know, I just think that, and I think Miles Sanders is good at football, and the Eagles O-line's really good. So I don't know, like I wouldn't be shocked if he scores 6 to 10 times, which around then, you know, like I'm going to take him. Like he goes around.
Maybe I need to rethink it, but my thought is the better way to play that is Gainwell, where Gainwell was used in the passing game when he was in a little bit, and they used him at the goal line when Miles Sanders was out, you know? So it's just, and it's just a cost thing. It's, and also it's like, I like the guys after him more. So it's like, I'm on the clock in the seventh round and I'm like, I can take a wide, you know, Sky Moore goes there sometimes. Like there are other wide receivers there that I like. And it's like, I can wait another round and I can just take Pollard, or I can take Singletary two rounds later. So it's, but I do probably, we can talk about diversity a little bit later too, but it's like, I probably making more diversification on those decisions is good.
I think it depends how you draft, right? Like, so when I start like zero running back, and so I have like four wide receivers going into the sixth.
That's a good point.
If like Miles Sanders is my, like I started a draft on Underdog yesterday where my first running backs were CEH and Miles Sanders in like the, you know, like the seventh and eighth or something like that. And I was like, you know, pretty stoked because both those guys were first round picks 2 years ago. Clearly that was wrong, but I don't know. I think the pathway is there for them to put up points, put up spike weeks. And, you know, like we don't need these season winning running backs as long as they can spike in the playoffs, which, you know, like, so I'm taking Kenny Gainwell too, but I'm more just trying to have pieces of the Eagles rushing offense, I guess.
Yeah. And I mean, I think Hurts is too cheap too. Like Hurts is the best. Yeah. Cause like like Lamar, you got to take in the fourth round, right? And yeah, I think
can you take Joe Burrow over Hurts? I just don't. Dude,
I was talking about this with Bimefor last week. It's like Burrow, I think, is like the singular worst ADP on the board. But I also don't want to construct a whole portfolio where I don't have Chase and Burrow stacks, you know, because very easily they could be the guys you need in week 17. But I think I haven't done my rankings yet, but I would imagine I would have him like quarterback 10. Probably, and he goes at like quarterback six and the six, like it just feels, and I don't know what the market is thinking there, because he did get a little bit of rushing production last year, but I can't imagine they want him doing that, right? Considering that like his knee injuries and stuff. So let's see, last year he had two rushing touchdowns last year, I would guess, and he had three as a rookie, but I would guess that like that's kind of a lot of rushing production. And it's like and that's not even like the Aaron Rodgers 404 that you used to get.
No, he's not like Stafford Brady mobility, but like for me, it's, I think he should be, you know, like if you told me Stafford had a better season, I wouldn't be shocked. If you told me Brady did, Brady's probably a favorite.
Brady's got like, I bet on like the FanDuel Sportsbook or whatever, all of Brady's like season long props are higher than Burrow's, I would bet.
Yeah, but I agree with you. Like I definitely want some Burrow shares. I don't want to be locked out, but I mean, my take is that talking about these like week 17 games, which by the way, like I think that's a missing piece of like the best ball content, is literally approaching week 17, the championship week, as if it's a DFS slate and like talking through all those games. I'm not really seeing anyone do that. Maybe we could do that in the future, but the Bengals play the Bills, which if healthy, like, that's a game I think I would want to onslaught Buffalo. I just think Buffalo would smack Cincinnati around. But, I mean, garbage time, who knows? You know, because, like, the Bills' defense is no joke, especially with Von Miller, and we saw what he did to the Bengals in the Super Bowl. But now they invested in the O-line, so.
Right, yeah. So, look, one of the big things I want to talk to you about was, like, distribution of entries. I will probably max BBM and then just draft on DraftKings and Drafters as like time allows. Cause like I would love to be knocking Drafters out right now. Like it would be, if I could do four Drafters a day right now and save some of my BBM entries, I would, but it's like a time management thing. And how many Drafters fill a day? Like four, maybe. Like it, yeah, and obviously it will pick up and I'm registered for a lot of those, but it's like, I know if I have like 45 minutes that a BBM will fill. Like this morning, mm-hmm. I have 45 minutes left at the gym. I'm going to go get on the treadmill, start it. Boom. I'm in, I'm making my last pick as I get out. So it's like, it's balancing like the time versus the dollars. And I will probably only max BBM. Like I probably won't max on the other sites. Like if I'm sitting there on August 10th and I'm not maxed on DraftKings, I'm not stressing it.
I mean, the DraftKings one's $5 this year, but I mean,
yeah,
and I think they're going to come out with more contests, but, and I'm going to start, I think, streaming a Drafters one once a week or something like that. to hopefully help, you know, fill it a bit faster, because I'm with you. I want to slow down my BBM entries, because I'm a big believer in the barbell approach, which is you draft a lot early, then you draft a lot late, because, you know, the arguments about drafting early and late, they're both equally sound to me. And like in any one season, I think it's totally, you know, viable that you need to draft with casuals in August.
Well, that's what Michael Dubner did a big article on RotoViz that basically found that that actually bears itself out in the data too, that, and I know you drafted your team on June 16th, but that a huge chunk of the high scoring teams come right at the beginning when you're just munching bad ADPs. And then mm-hmm. right at the end, when you're basically drafting with full knowledge of injuries, who wins training camp battles and shit like that.
Yeah. So I don't really understand the people who are like, no, I'm only drafting August, you know, like I think that's totally missing the point. You have to be willing to be wrong. So like, do I really care if a player I'm hammering right now gets hurt? Yes. Obviously that's not great, but if it means that I'm getting these like top 0.01% outcomes, I'm here for that. And the ADP is, you know, shifted wildly since the day the contest opened. And you know, we mentioned a player or two here, they might go up around. It's kind of crazy, the best ball ecosystem. I want to know what happens when like the Cowboys fan who's used to taking Zeke, you know, like in the first round, when they open their underdog app and they're like, where is he? And they have to scroll down to like the fifth round to find him. That's what I want to see, like the reaction of that person.
I get some sticker shock seeing Zeke all the way down there. Honestly, I haven't taken him a ton yet, but I don't know. Like I could, cause he did play hurt last year. I could talk myself into Zeke being like a Josh Jacobs style value from last year, where he's not even that impressive. It's not like you ever were like, oh my God, this guy's just stringing together monster games, but just a bunch of 15 point weeks in the fifth, sixth round is super valuable.
Super valuable. And I mean, I've not gotten much myself yet. And I need to work in getting more. Let's talk about my Bills take, because I'm curious.
Yeah. Let's do it.
What you think about this is I do like the Bills historically have been running almost zero to tight end. And you know, this year they signed OJ Howard, and there's been some smoke that they're going to be upping their two tight end sets, which if you think about the quarterbacks that are, you know, like apt to crush in two tight end, I would argue that Josh Allen is maybe the best one, because he can run the power O or he can throw it. So what does that do to the offense is in two tight ends, you know, your pass catchers on the field would be Diggs, Davis, Knox, and then maybe James Cook or Singletary. And you know, James Cook could be flexed into the slot if they need that like late, but I think that should like make Diggs, Davis, and Knox more valuable than they were last year, because it takes the James Crowder off the field. It takes the Isaiah McKenzie, the Cole Beasley, whoever off the field, and only leaves those guys to catch the football. So if they go, I think they ran about 8% last year. If they get up to like 20%, so we're not talking a huge difference here, but it should bump down, you know, like the four wide receivers or like the slot guy on the field a bit. And what's your thought on that?
So my thought is that Cole Beasley is really the guy who's getting replaced. And that's probably like, he was their least efficient in terms of like yards per target, adjusted yards per attempt. And like, that's a valuable role in the NFL, just being able to move the sticks. But like Dawson Knox is probably like, what I would assume is Knox the inline, or is Knox going to be the move guy in this for
OJ
you?
Howard would be the blocking and Knox
Knox seems fine enough to be in that role. And maybe that makes him a little bit underpriced. My thinking would be the reason that as an organization, they would want to move in that direction is because they want to run more, which does feel kind of bad. Like it feels bad to have Josh Allen and be like, let's give the ball to Devin Singletary and James Cook more. Maybe they bring Zach Moss back in from the cold, if that's the offense that they want to do. Maybe they're worried about the two high safeties coming back to bite them.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's totally reasonable. And I think the Buffalo Bills stadium is the most unique stadium in the NFL, where when it gets wind, which the only thing I'm really scared about for like a quarterback is wind, like the wind in the Bills stadium is just wild. So like,
yeah,
think back to that Patriots Bills game, the first one last year when they were like throwing in a hurricane. I mean, Josh could still move the ball, but I do like, there was some argument, I think, internally in the Bills, where it's like the coach McDermott seems to maybe want to run the ball more. Like, I'm not sure how sharp
every coach wants to run the ball more.
And I think Dabble wanted to pass it more. So like, obviously we want them passing, but come January, December, where these fantasy playoff games are played, maybe they do want to run it a bit, which I don't think that's like a ding to the pass offense, but I don't know. I do think they will implement two tight end more this year, whatever that means exactly for the
players. So are you taking any OJ Howard in the 18th round or 20th round?
I personally believe Knox is going to take the next step, where like, I think he could, like, who has the potential to break into the elite tight ends? It's not TJ Hockenson to me. It's not Dallas Goedert. It's Schultz and Knox are the two.
I don't think so. On Schultz, by the way, it lines up. So it lines up very similarly for Knox, for Schultz. I just think Schultz is just such a jag. Like I think that if Dalton Schultz and Dan Arnold switch positions, no one would ever know the difference. And I also think that they're make like a third round pick on Tolbert. I mean, Michael Gallup was a third round pick. I guess this is assuming that Tolbert is good. And, you know, sometimes these guys get into camp and the coaches are like, this guy can't fucking play. Like, this guy, we can't have this guy out there. But I would not be surprised to see Tolbert out target Schultz this year.
So like, athletically, yes, Knox is like, Knox compares to like Kittle in like a Raz, you know, perspective. Shout out Kent Leaplatt. But the talking about Schultz, like why I'm in on him is, this is like the second year in a row, really, we've seen him put up like relatively big passing numbers and touchdowns. It's very possible he is the pass catcher too. Dak seems to like him. He threw 37 touchdowns in like the fantasy playoff or like the fantasy season last year. I don't know.
11 of them coming in the last 3 weeks.
Yeah. I mean, like, look, fluky things happen, but I don't know. I there's no way. Like, do you think, would you rather have TJ Hockenson over Schultz?
Yes.
So Schultz, how many touchdowns is Goff going to throw this year?
I mean, you're kind of talking the wrong. I'm kind of bullish on these Lions, honestly.
I like the Lions, but like, two things can't be true, right? Like, all these Lions can't be expensive, and Jared Goff only throws again like 17 touchdowns, right? He needs to like,
this is my issue with Schultz. These are the guys who go immediately after him. And pretty much I find myself, and this is on Underdog, Sky Moore, self-explanatory. Ayuk, I mean, let's say we're doing this show right now. Debo gets traded to the Jets or whoever. Where does Ayuk go? Third round, probably.
I'm in on Debo.
Yeah, I'm in on Debo too, but I like Ayuk regardless. Cordarrelle Patterson, I think he's I think he's extremely underpriced. And then
dude's 32 or something like that, but
I feel like Schultz versus Goddard is sort of interesting because they're sort of similar in the sense of they have good players surrounding them, and they both benefit from having better players around them. And then also it's like, because they're playing with better players, I'm not going to be surprised if they get minimized. Like, if this is the year that CeeDee Lamb goes nuclear and has like the CeeDee Lamb season, that negatively impacts Dalton Schultz. If AJ Brown catches 97 passes, that negatively impacts Dallas Goedert. Like, and this is also the other interesting thing, is that's the historical range where the worst values at tight end come. Every single year, the worst value is mediocre athletic guy who has a great season, is in a good offense, gets pushed way up, and then he gets forgotten about. I mean, this is a tale as old as time in fantasy football. Every year, the worst bets are like tight end 6 through 10 without fail.
I hear you there. And I would agree that like Schultz's floor is probably worse, right? But I think tight end is pretty inefficient in these drafts where we really just kind of want the tight ends and the best offenses. Like, who's going to score the most touchdowns? So talking about like Goddard versus Schultz, first off, Goddard's pass competition is way better than Schultz, in my opinion. Because I mean,
yeah,
I like CeeDee Lamb, but
no, but AJ Brown and Devonta Smith are really good.
Yeah, and I'm not sure, like I've not been clicking CD's button too much at the top of the second either.
Like, I haven't either, and I'm like the most noted CD truther, but I haven't been able to do it either. It's like you know, CD is going ahead of Tyreek.
Yeah, I mean,
I've not
been clicking that button really either. What are you doing with the Dolphins? I mean, there's so much uncertainty.
I take them. I'm good with those guys at ADP because I've never been as much of a Tua hater as the market has been. I've always kind of liked him, but then also it's like, those guys eat at each other's yearly ceiling, but those guys don't eat at each other's weekly ceiling. So like Waddle is going to have some games where he goes, you know, 12 catches, 111 yards and a touchdown. And Tyreek gets 4 for 40 in that game. And then Tyreek will have his 6 for 150 in 2 weeks where Waddle goes 12 for 12, you know, 2 for 12 or whatever. And if Waddle happens to have the 13 catch game in week 17, like those are two guys I can just so clearly see being week 17 guys. And also I think they want to run, you know, they sign Edmonds, they sign Mostert, they sign Michelle. I still think it's going to work. I think the offensive line is not good enough, and it's just going to be a shit ton of short passing. So I think there are probably more pass attempts there than the market is anticipating.
Yeah, I've been taking more Waddle than Tyreek. I probably need to work that up. Speaking about like the copycat league, the other player that teams might try to copycat is this like Debo, and like
that's
And so like, are they going to try to do this with Tyreek with like mini Debo basically? So I do think I need to get a bit more Tyreek. I've just been taking more like running backs around there, and I like Mark Andrews like over him and, you know, players like that. But, and I don't know, like a player like Tyreek, like the second he loses that gear, he's not Tyreek anymore. Like he's
no, it's like watching James. Deep. It's like watching James Harden in these playoffs where it's like, he's trying to do the same thing he used to be able to do and he can't do it.
Yeah. And so, and like, we're closer to that than we are further away.
Yeah.
In my opinion, how about the New England pass catchers? What have you been doing?
Only Jacoby Myers, literally zero interest in any other. Hunter Henry is fine.
Well, Kendrick Bourne is someone who I'm like, I was a Kendrick Bourne hater. Like, I thought that was a terrible signing. I was shocked. I mean, and he put up like a pretty good fantasy season, and he goes in like the 18th round on Underdog right now. I'm not too scared of Devontae Parker. I don't really know what Tycon Thornton does for them. Like, he got taken in the second round. To me, Mac Jones, though, like, look, I like to hate on Mac Jones because I'm a Bills fan. But to me, like, I think his ceiling is like maybe a little bit better of a Kirk Cousins. So I feel like they could by default pass a little bit more this year.
No, I don't buy this at all. I actually think it was the game against your Bills that showed exactly what Bill Belichick thinks of Mac Jones, which is that he is very competent at executing exactly what the team McDaniels and Bill Belichick asked him to do, which, by the way, I think losing McDaniels might be kind of shitty for them, because it's clear that Bill Belichick did not have a huge influence on play calling. Like maybe he did like run the pass ratios, but Belichick is a defensive guy. He's always been a defensive guy. He is not as hands-on with the offense. So I think that might be a hiccup. But this is the New England Patriots depth chart, a wide receiver. They have Parker, Myers, and Bourne. Then they have Nelson Agholor. Then they have the guy they just spent the 56th pick on, Tyquan Thornton. And they still have N'Keal Harry hanging around there, who started last season, you know, not playing at all. And then he kind of like developed this role as like a run blocker, red zone guy, stealing some stuff away. And they're paying Jonnu Smith $16 million a year. Apparently they're like converting him to like an H-back, and they have Hunter Henry. So like maybe Bourne squeezes out, you know, a wide receiver 33 season again, but like also it was done in such a way that it was like extremely high variance the way Bourne was scoring and stuff. Like, for example, he is,
which we want that high variance for best ball.
But I would rather use a high variance selection on like Donovan Peoples Jones or Wandale Robinson is really what it comes down to. For example, the game against Dallas, he has one catch for 75 yards and a touchdown. It like bounces off of I can't remember if it was off a guy's helmet or off a guy's hands when he catches the touchdown to send it to overtime. But it's like you strip away a couple of those positive variance plays and the guy looks like Adam Humphries. And maybe I'm wrong. Like, I would rather take Thornton over him, I think, probably, because Thornton is at least projects more as like a scores 270 yard touchdowns than a season type guy.
Yeah. I mean, Thornton could be like just their end around guy. It really wouldn't shock me. Or he could score, you know, 6 touchdowns this year. My hot take for New England is like Bill is getting close to the all time win record. And so I feel like 2 years ago when they signed all those like mediocre free agents, like he wants to have these like 8-8, you know, 9-7 squads, like these squads that are not good enough to win the Super Bowl, because he just wants to, you know, from like an organization standpoint, you don't want to be mediocre every year. Like that's terrible for your chance to like bottom out and get high draft capital. But I think he just wants to like, you know, churn out 7-8 win seasons. Obviously he'll take more if he can get it. And because he's just trying to get that, you know, all time win record and then retire. How do you rank the AFC East in standings after Buffalo?
Bills, Dolphins. And this is not what the market would say, I think it's a coin flip between the Jets and the Patriots. Because
it's a coin flip between the Dolphins, Jets, and Patriots.
Oh, like, I think the Dolphins are good. I think the Dolphins are good.
Their defense is really good too, so I got to give that credit.
I mean, the Jets are probably the team that if I went to go look at my exposures right now, then I'm probably like most in terms of like putting dollars into most bullish, because if Zach Wilson does the second year Josh Allen thing, there's so much profit potential on Wilson and Moore. And also, by the way, we're talking about 18th round tight ends. The beats are saying that Conklin is the move tight end and that Uzuma is the blocking tight end, and they're going in reverse order in ADP. So you can just take Conklin in the 18th round. And I mean, like, I know he's a running back, but Breece Hall is pretty good. Chain mover, whatever. It really just comes down to is Zach Wilson capable of playing better than he played last year? I think it's kind of one of those things where it's like you see the arm talent, so it's easier to imagine it, whereas it's harder for me to imagine Mac Jones elevating all these guys because I just haven't seen him make like any of those crazy throws that you kind of need to have. I'm making lots of bets on the Jets in these drafts. Like Garrett Wilson, it's like wide receiver 45. He goes like right ahead of Robert Woods. That's like so easy to click.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's very possible that, you know, Zach Wilson has a huge season, but it's also very possible, you know, like they just run the ball hundreds of times.
That's true too. Yeah.
And like they just try to protect him. So like, but who, you know, in best ball contests, in these contests where, you know, like finishing 10th place out of 455,000 people is 1% of the money of first place. Like you want these high, you know, win, low, you know, low floor type situations. Should we talk about the week 17 games at all? Any of your favorites?
Yeah. Broncos, Chiefs, because adjusted for price, it's the easiest one to do. That's going to have a total above 50. It's hard to do Bills Rams. Like you have to get the second pick to do Bills Rams, honestly.
Bills Bengals.
Bills Bengals. Yeah. So like Bills and like, you can't even get Chase and Kupp. Like, you know, it's like one of those that's like that game could be 37-30. Chase gets 202, Kupp gets 180-2, and you're like locked out of the nuts, you know, because you literally can't get those two guys on the same team.
Yeah. I mean, like like, if you ask me just like which game would I think would go back and forth, it would be Chargers and Rams. Obviously Chiefs.
Yeah.
Chiefs Broncos is big too. I prefer the Buffalo, like just straight up Buffalo onslaught against the Bengals, but you know, like T Higgins against a rookie corner, assuming Tre'Davious White is back, is probably good too. And I mean, I like Cardinals just like beating down the Falcons. So like a Cardinals onslaught for sure. And they're
that's an interesting one. Where are you at? Are you taking Keontae Ingram in the 18th round right now?
So something I've been doing kind of recently is like, in some of my teams, I've been taking both Keontae and Eno to end it, because like, if we knew who it was, that person would be going around like Alexander Mattison.
This is my biggest pet theory in best ball, that drafting two running backs from the same team is actually good, assuming that that one or both of them has a chance of having multiple weeks of being a bell cow. TJ Hernandez tweeted that 20% of the finalists last year in BBM2 had two running backs from the same team.
And I was doing it last year with teams like New England, because they played the Jaguars in week 17. And I mean, that turned out to be right. And actually both of them did smash. And I would do it with like the Bills guys somewhat last year with like Singletary Moss, where it's just like, okay, they're both really cheap. They're on an offense that should be like top three in the NFL. I definitely don't on purpose like handcuff teams often, but I think it's kind of interesting taking two handcuffs, just trying to like lock down that handcuff role, where like the Cardinals like to run the ball a lot. Cliff is not a sharp guy to me at all. So I don't really have a lean on the Eno versus Ingram situation.
It's probably Eno, but maybe not. It's like one of those things where it's like they've shown no indication that they like Eno Benjamin really at all.
Yeah. I mean, and like Eno is like 5'9", whatever, like maybe like 190, and Ingram at least has like the profile that he could be the bell cow.
Eno's down. Most touches in a game ever was 12 in 2 years of playing in the NFL.
Yeah. I mean, and I know he's been like an analytic darling a bit. Like I think Ben Gretsch likes him a lot.
I like him. I mean, he was crazy productive at Arizona State.
Yeah. I'm not a college football consumer. I'm pretty strictly like NFL, like the draft kind of like teaches me about these guys, but I've definitely been taking both, and like, yeah, you're just, maybe I should just be taking one and accepting that like it's a dead roster spot on one of them, but it's conceivable both those guys see usable weeks. Yeah.
Yeah.
And all we need is those usable weeks.
And and you gotta adjust for cost. Like you wouldn't take Dalvin Cook and Alexander Mattison, but you could take Jonathan Taylor and Nyheim Hines, or you could take,
CMC and Foreman,
Joe Mixon and Samaj Perine. Yeah. CMC, Foreman, same thing.
So let's talk about the Bengals. Do you think it's going to be Perine, or do you think it's going to be Chris Evans?
I think they like Evans in the role that he played last year. I think I've heard both things from the beats, like, or not heard, read both things, where some of them have been like, they like him in that role. They're going to keep him in that role. They think he can evolve to take over Perine. And honestly, it's probably just a matter of who plays better in camp, or if Perine fucks up at some point, you know, if he misses a couple pass blocks or, you know, fumbles in week two or whatever. I don't think that's knowable right now.
I had quite a bit of Chris Evans last year. He was like the guy I was taking who like, I think almost no one else was. And I mean, like his RAS profile is real sexy. And Perine is just not a sexy player at all, but we should be taking like one of these guys probably, because I think the Bengals towards late, you know, as the season went on, they wanted kind of one of these guys in the pass catcher role, not just Mixon all the time. And Mixon's like, you know, he's put together many seasons of a ton of touches. Like he could fall off. He could get hurt, you know, at any time.
Samaj Perine has the record for most rushing yards in a game in the Big 12.
Wow.
He had 412 yards against KU.
I removed my Perine slander.
He was unreal in college. He was and it has not worked for him in the NFL, but he was an extremely good college player. One of those guys.
Are you, I know you were not a big Isaiah Spiller guy. Are you still out on him now that he got taken by the Chargers?
I have Lucy in the football. It's Larry Roundtree. Justin. It's like who was 2 years ago?
Justin Jackson was like good. Like, I don't know why
Justin Jackson.
He's not...
Yeah, he was fine. But clearly they don't like him, right? Clearly Roundtree, Spiller. There was another guy who I am totally blanking on right now. But I think that if you were
the
to
guy
tell
they took
me,
last year, they took the guy last year. I forget his name.
Larry Roundtree from Missouri.
Oh, then the guy before him. I forget that guy's name too.
So the thing is if you told me that one of these guys was for sure going to be the Thunder to Eckler's Lightning, I would be all in. But it's like, Josh Kelly. Josh Kelly is forgetting.
Yeah, that's who it is.
Who had 111 rushes and a 3.2 yards per carry in 2020. And he was so bad that they brought in Kalen Ballage off the street and were using him over Josh Kelly. So I think the problem with taking these Chargers guys I like Tyrion Davis-Price more than Isaiah Spiller because, one, I don't think there's any chance that if Eckler were to get hurt, that it would just be one guy. I just think they won't do that. Whereas Tyrion Davis-Price could be this year's Eli Mitchell if they wanted to. It's like Eli Mitchell rolls his ankle. They don't like Trey Sermon. Jeff Wilson Jr., he cannot handle more than like 8 touches in a game. Every time Jeff Wilson Jr. leads the 49ers in rushing for a game, his knees swell for like the next month.
You're talking Jeff Wilson Jr. was on my winning team. I was taking him last year.
Well, because, he had a couple spike weeks.
Yeah. And late, but I was taking him last year because he like got hurt in camp. And so no one else was taking him. So he was like the guy trying to get leverage late in the week. And it almost worked because Elijah Mitchell came back for week 17. But to me, the Chargers, I think, are the second best roster in the NFL.
Yeah.
And like a really good team. So I definitely want whoever the Thunder is going to be. I think it's Spiller, but I agree it could be anyone. They could sign Jerick McKinnon off the street for all we know. And it
could literally be anyone. They could bring someone out of retirement. There's no certainty there, I think. So I am not taking Spiller right now at all.
I've been taking him like after, but he's like, he should be going after James Cook. He should be going after like Rashad White, Alexander Mattison.
Like he goes ahead of Daryl Henderson. I'm taking Daryl Henderson over him 10 of 10.
Are you afraid at all about Kyren Williams?
No.
I mean, Kyren... Sean McVay is not like the sharpest guy in the tool shed either. Like he's sharp at calling plays, but he does weird things.
Kyren Williams ran a 4.69 at 194 pounds.
Why did they take him?
I mean, teams just do that shit. It's like Tyler Allgeier didn't have a good combine either, and the Falcons took him. But no, I'm not like I think Daryl Henderson's better than him. Daryl Henderson played third downs in the Super Bowl. Like, I think there's this narrative that Cam Akers like banished Daryl Henderson to the nether realm. That it didn't really happen that way. The concerning thing would be that Henderson literally gets hurt every time he gets a start. I mean, literally every time this dude gets 20 touches, he gets injured. So maybe taking Henderson is not smart because Cam Akers gets injured again. Henderson starts 3 games, then gets hurt himself. Then well, Kyren Williams
those
comes
three
in.
Games are great in the 15th round if that's all we need.
But know? I would make Daryl Henderson like a minus 200 favorite to get more touches than Kyren Williams in the first game that Cam Akers misses is my theory.
I'm not taking any Kyren Williams. I wasn't taking Henderson and now I am again. But I do feel like he's the running back two there, but I don't know. That's a situation I want to pay attention to camp. Continuing on the Rams. What's your take on Allen Robinson? Is
so
is he
hard
dust?
To take him. It's so he... it's like because who knows who like he could have been fine last year and then just been looking at this Bears offense and been like I'm not doing what, this, yeah. bro. I'm not yeah. giving it my all out here. We suck. Like what am I trying to do all this for? And cost adjusted, you're getting really good odds on him because if he just duplicates like Robert Woods' season, he's a value. Like if Robert Woods had not torn his knee and he was just playing the role that Allen Robinson is in, he would be going at like wide receiver 20-ish probably. I guess Woods had kind of started to slow down anyway before the knee injury. But again, it's hard to take him because the two guys after him are the guys I like am most excited to take in Gabe Davis and Smith-Schuster. Like, so it's hard to click those guys.
I'm those guys over Allen, but when people take them, like, yeah, I'm going to have some shares. Like, I refuse the full fade Allen Robinson, which I will do to some players because I don't know. I'm just betting kind of on the Rams and that, yeah, he was just mailing it in with the Bears. Like, that wouldn't be shocking at all.
The one tricky thing with him is Odell has still not signed. And if the Packers don't sign Odell, the thing that makes the most sense is the Rams just finding $8 million to pay him or whatever and just bringing him back, which doesn't hurt Allen Robinson early in the season, but would really, I think, impact his playoff performances, because I think even an Odell coming off an ACL tears, I mean, he's still so good. Odell showed last year. I think he's still really good.
And he goes so late. Like, how many games do you think we're going to get of Odell in the fantasy season?
I think you got to start thinking that he comes back in November is sort of what I'm thinking here. Let me check my exposure right now. I bet Odell is one of my top.
Wow.
I have way too much Sammy Watkins. I'm looking at this right now. I gotta stop doing that. I'm 16% Odell through 28 drafts right now.
I'm not close to there yet. But I do, like, I don't know, like, I definitely want to get some, because I do think he's going to sign. He's going to play a lot of the season, and he is good. Like, you know, we have to forget about the Browns stuff. That was totally just on Baker. How about, I like Russell Gage. What have you been doing with him?
No.
No? Why are you out on him? And I'll tell you why I'm in.
Well, one, I don't like him anyway. Like, he was like, because he was just one of those guys that's become like a meme of like me not liking him. But then also, I think they're going to sign Julio Jones. And okay, that would be, Gage would be the guy who loses the most routes.
If they sign Julio, that's kind of a dagger to my Gage exposure. Like, why I'm in on him is, like, we clearly saw three wide receivers and Gronk do it with Brady. Pretty sure, like, Brady, like, personally called Gage and was like, you know,
that's true. Yeah.
Like he wanted Gage there. We've seen the slot receiver do it there forever. We don't know how many games we're going to get of Chris Godwin.
Yeah.
And Mike, the way Mike Evans plays football, like, yeah, if he keeps playing, he'll get like 10 touchdowns a season. But, you know, those bigger bodied wide receivers kind of, you know,
yeah, they're going to break down faster.
Yeah. And Russell Gage had massive spike weeks with Matt Ryan, you know, like an old Matt Ryan. So I don't know. I definitely want to have some. He goes like right around like MBS and whatnot. So I understand those who are taking MBS over him and the rookies. But I don't know. Like, would it really shock you if he has a couple 20, 30 point weeks? Not really.
No, it wouldn't. It wouldn't really shock me that much, but I still don't really like him. He's just not really a dude that I'm in on.
He's not like an exciting guy.
There are so many ways that it can go. I mean, there are ways it can go good for him, but there are so many ways it can go bad for him. Like, you know, they just decide to play Scotty Miller honestly, if Gronk comes back, I think that's bad for him too. Now, if Gronk doesn't come back, I'll probably hate that I did all this. Like, I'll probably wish that I had more of him. I'm kind of, while we're talking about tight ends, Albert O.
I think he
is a generational smash. Kareem is trying to FUD my bags with Greg fucking Dulcich, and I'm not having
Are you afraid of Greg? I mean, like, obviously we don't love the Greg Dulcich signing by them, but like, looking at their athletic profiles, Greg can't hold a candle to Albert.
Literally not a candle. The Dulcich stuff is the reason, if I was to, and Kareem, shut this off if you're listening, I'm not going to let you throw this back at me. If I were to be worried, it would be because Dulcich is this regime's pick, right? This GM, this head coach, Albert O is a remnant of the last, you know, and this happens with like borderline players all the time. And I think Albert O is better than a borderline player, but maybe I'm biased, right? Maybe he's not. And if they're just like, Dulcich is our guy, that's really bad for him. But I just feel like Albert O is so much better. And he's already been good in the NFL. That's the other thing, is that when he's been given the opportunities, he's played well, been efficient, been a good blocker. Like,
and he's not a rookie. Like, and we know tight end.
Yeah, he's a third year player.
The tight end is the slowest position to adjust to the NFL typically. Like, it was not usual what we saw out of Pat Freiermuth.
Yeah. Well,
Kyle Pitts is Kyle Pitts. Like, I'm putting him separate, but Pat Freiermuth, like, he had like a serviceable season as a rookie last year. That was extremely rare. But I'm also like of the camp that athletes are just going to be better entering the NFL. So like some of these old narratives, like rookies can't do it at positions. Maybe we should drop sooner than later. Yeah, I mean, I think Gronk's going to sign back too. Have you been taking him?
I only take him when I take Brady. So the only time I would take him would be if I've taken Brady in the ninth, like Godwin in the fourth, Brady in the ninth, then I star Gronk and I take Gronk, but I have not taken Gronk on a non-Brady team. And I don't think I will until he gets signed. Cause I think their ceilings are really correlated too. Like Brady, his whole career, his like on off splits with Gronk are like unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean, I want some exposure. He's not comfortable to just take like two tight ends with, but
I always take three, even if I take Kelce or Andrews.
I'll do two tight end quite a bit, but I get the argument for three.
It's just like that's what Hayden's data showed. Hayden's data.
I know, but I think historical data like that misses the point.
It's really tricky.
It's like a snapshot of one season of one, like, and so, you know, if Kittle scores 3 weeks in a row, that data doesn't show the same thing. So like, I think people that rely too heavily on historical data are missing the point a bit.
So my counter argument to that would be, it makes total sense why three tight ends would be good. One, tight ends get injured a lot. That's like something that you don't think about, but like they play a really hard position. Like it's like Kittle being injured a lot is not surprising, right? Like these guys, like TJ Hawkinson picking up injuries, not surprising. They have to block 300-pound dudes and then get tackled at the knees. So like these guys missing three games here and there is not surprising. But the other thing that I literally never hear anyone say is you can get two spike weeks. Like you can have a great Mark Andrews game. And if Donald Parham catches four passes and a touchdown, that might beat your fourth wide receiver for a week. And you can use those points. So like, that's the other thing that I think kind of goes under discussed. Like what's the difference between your wide receiver nine, you know, taking Isaiah McKenzie in the 17th round or taking Tyler Conklin? Like what, like how much difference is there really in those guys' projections? Like not much.
I guess for me, it's like, I feel a lot of people don't think tight end is that important, where I lean the opposite side, where tight end is super important.
Super important. I want the elite tight ends a lot.
You must play one, right? So it's like literally it's 1/8 of your roster each week or whatever it is. And so I usually try to get two good ones. And when I do that, I don't stomach the capital for the third. But like tight end, in especially for half point PPR, is one of the positions where you just need the guys who score touchdowns. So three or even four tight ends sometimes makes sense if you punt the position. Let's talk about some of the other like guys who could win leagues who we don't know about. Have you been taking Taysom Hill?
I just tweeted this the other day. It's like Taysom
Hill.
I hate
that that Underdog made him a tight end eligible.
If Taysom
DraftKings didn't, so I just punt it.
If he gets one start at quarterback, just one. Doesn't matter when it happens. Doesn't matter if it's week 8. Better fucking hope it's not week 17. If Taysom Hill starts a quarterback in week 17 for the Saints, he is going to be the player you need because he's locked into like 18 at minimum. And I tweeted this out and I was like, what do people think? What do people think the odds are that he gets one start? And it was pretty low because, and I do think that this is probably true. I think the chances of him getting a start are semi-low because they signed Andy Dalton. And if Jameis gets hurt, sucks, whatever, they're going to Dalton first, guaranteed.
But he doesn't even need to get a start because like he could literally just be the goal line,
the
goal line back. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so honestly, I hate, like, I don't want to be thinking about Taysom Hill, but
I think you gotta have like 20% of him. Honestly, I really think you do. And I think and I'm not there yet. Because I just noticed this the other day. Like, I hadn't even noticed that he was tight end until I was just, like, looking for a late-round tight end the other day. And I was like, just because there are so few chances to break the game that way. Like this almost never happens. And to not take that exploit, I think would be bad.
Yeah. I mean, I really wish they just listed him quarterback and then it's an easy don't.
You
think
don't
about
have to think
it.
About it. Yeah.
But I don't have a lot and I need to start getting more. And he's like the perfect like third punt tight end, you know, where it's like, who cares if he's a dead roster spot? How about Will Fuller? Where does he sign? How many games does he play?
He signs in Cleveland and he plays like 9 games.
How many games does Deshaun play? I don't have almost any Deshaun. I think I literally have 0.
He plays 8.
8.
We're gonna get the news of that suspension this week, I think.
That would be interesting. I mean, like, I need to start taking more of him, but I don't know. I don't really feel like it, and I don't know. Like, he could be suspended late. He could be suspended when you care about.
So what happened
points.
To Zeke? They didn't suspend Zeke until the middle of the season.
Yeah, and then
I think Zeke appealed it. Maybe this was 3 years, 4 years ago. So I'm forgetting, but yeah, some of these guys they don't come down with the judgment until the middle of the season.
Where are you at on the Texans roster? Are you taking Damian Pierce?
I'm like, I don't think I have yet. It's just like, what are the chances?
He's getting really expensive now. Fourth round running back.
Like they were bringing dudes in off the street and giving them the most touches at running back last year. Like they had DJ and Burkhead.
Rex Burkhead just does it every year.
Yeah. So it's like, and like, what are the odds that Damian Pierce is the one who buries me? Like, low enough that I'm comfortable just not taking him. Like, I don't even like Cooks. Like, I just don't really want to take anyone from the Texans.
I get that. I've been taking some Cooks, but it's like he just keeps doing it.
He just does it every year. Yeah.
What about Baker? Where does he, is he out? Is he in?
See, that's one of those where I think it's a bad bet. That's where it's like, so he's got to sign. He's got to sign somewhere where he's the starter and he's got to play really well. And Baker doesn't run. So it's like, what are his angles to beating you? It's like for, in terms of 18th round picks, Ridder and Pickett are like picking up nickels on the street right now. Like Ridder and Pickett are my 18th rounders.
So I've done quite a bit of teams where I end with Mariota and Ridder because
same thing. Yeah.
What number quarterback do you think they would finish? Because they're like poor man's Konami quarterbacks.
Like
right?
Quarterback, like quarterback 18 if you added all their scores together, I think, or something like that. The problem is that the pass catchers are so bad that they'll really have to run a lot. Like they got to average like 4 rushing points a game or something like that to get them there, which I think – I don't know how much Ridder will run. I know Mariota will run. I don't know how much Desmond Ridder will run.
Does Ridder – athletically compare to like Hurts or is he like what where is he?
I mean he ran a 4.5 at the combine. He had 28 rushing touchdowns and he had 28 rushing touchdowns in college. I think he's a little smaller than Hurts. Like I mean Hurts is like a freak. Hurts weighs 240 pounds maybe. Ridder is 205, so he's more like Lamar size. Hurts is 225, not 240. 225 is fucking massive for a quarterback.
That's big,
though.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it's more, and I think with Ridder, it'll be more like scrambles and stuff like that, but which rookies will do too, right? Ridder is going to love to pull the ball down and just go get 7 yards instead of throwing a contested throw to Drake London.
Yeah. How about the Titans? Like, Tannehill's regularly slip into the 18th round right now.
I take Tannehill a lot.
Yeah, I mean, like, two things can't be true. Tannehill can't be an 18th round quarterback, and no one's taking Malik Willis. And then how about how do you see it working out in Washington and Carolina? Do you think the veterans play? I kind of lean that Wentz plays in Washington and Corral plays in Carolina.
Yeah, sunk cost for Washington. They're in. Wentz will play as long as he's healthy in Washington, especially because they've exhausted all the other options. Like they've seen what they've had in Taylor Heinicke. He stinks. You know, Fitzpatrick.
They took Howell though.
Yeah, Howell was a fifth rounder though, right?
I don't quite remember.
Yeah, I hear. Let me go find that. So I think that Howell is such a low cost that it's unlikely that we see a ton of him. Yeah, he was the first pick of the fifth round. But the Panthers, I'm drafting like Corral is going to start most of the games because Sam Darnold truly stinks. And I mean, Carolina has tried everything. They PJ Walker from the XFL, Cam Newton cut from the paint. Like they've tried everything. So I don't think there's anything stopping them from giving Corral 10 games.
That makes sense to me.
Yeah. When Corral, I kind of like because the infrastructure is pretty good in terms of the players. Now, I don't know if the coaches seem bad, but McCaffrey, DJ Moore, Marshall, Robbie Anderson, pretty good group of skill position players to walk in. And they drafted a tackle, like pretty good situation to walk into as a third round rookie.
Yeah. And CMC could house it on a dump off for you. How about the Raiders? Do you think is Derek Carr going to make this like Matt Stafford-esque leap with his new with Devontae Adams, or is he going to be Derek Carr of pass?
They're all too expensive. Every Raiders player, Renfrow is too expensive. Waller's too expensive. Adams is too expensive. Now I don't want to have like no Waller at the end.
Yeah, Waller is the guy I have the most of.
But if Adams,
I have no Adams.
Yeah, because you got to take Adams so high relative to what I think his baseline is.
He goes ahead of Stephon Diggs a lot.
Yeah.
So I think is wrong.
Adams is the 10.01 right now on average ahead of Diggs, Lamb, Debo, Reek, Mike Evans. I would maybe have him like wide receiver 10. Honestly, it's like, can he get that target volume from Derek Carr? Like, I don't think so.
They're going to cannibalize each other, but the spike week should be there. So I guess we need to have
Renfrow is probably the one who I think is drawing the most dead. Where it's like you can't get the target volume that you need as the guy you are playing with Devontae Adams and Darren Waller.
He's kind of a red zone guy though, Renfrow. Like he scores a lot of
he did last year. I don't know if I mean, and maybe he'll be that way like Beasley was with the Bills, where it's like you wouldn't think that he's a red zone guy, but he ended up being one. I don't know. But I don't know. Renfrow just not a guy I can get into.
Do you think Daniel Jones starts the whole season for the Giants if healthy?
Yeah. Yeah. And which the Giants are a great team to backdoor if you get sniped on your other stuff, because then you can go Daniel Jones, Ricky Seals Jones, Wandale Robinson in like your last five picks. And Daniel Jones is gonna run a little bit too, I think.
Ricky Seals Jones goes undrafted and underdog mostly.
Yep. And he's gonna he's gonna do what he did for the Washington football team last year.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like the Giants. Just if transitive property of sharpness from the Bills, if they can be 50% of the Bills offense with Daniel Jones, like there's a lot of values there other than Galladay, who just, I feel like stinks. I don't know. I don't know what happened to poor Kenny.
Well, so what happens with their pass catchers, the Giants, because they got Galladay. I think Kadarius Toney is flat out good, but is he outside? Is he slot? And then I guess he is outside. And so then it's just Wandale and Shepard competing for the slot.
Well, and Sterling Shepard is maybe not going to be ready for the start of the year because he had that Achilles injury, I think, at the end of last season. So their wide receiver depth chart is Galladay, Toney, Shepard, Wandale. They also still have Darius Slayton on the roster. And then, you know, they have a bunch of tight ends to throw at the wall. I don't really know what they'll do, but I think they're like one of the more interesting teams to see what they do on offense, to see if, cause I mean, it could be one of those situations where like they had the worst coach of all time and maybe there just was nothing they could do. Like maybe their coaching staff was so bad that we just got to forgive how bad every Giants player was last year. Cause they just couldn't help it.
Are you taking Saquon quite a bit, or are you taking the other guys around him?
Started out not taking him, and now it's like one of those things where I'm like, well, if I'm gonna take McCaffrey, who hasn't been healthy in three seasons at two, then I gotta take Barkley at three, you know, or in the third round, because it's like Barkley could be he's one of the guys who could be the top scorer in fantasy, and I don't know if injuries have completely sapped him of his like former superhuman athletic ability. And I don't know if the new coaching staff is going to be as dedicated to getting him the ball as the old coaching staff. But if they are, it's like James Conner versus Barkley. Like Barkley's going to dunk all over James Conner.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like he kind of goes around Leonard Fournette and Aaron Jones, who all those guys could do the thing this year. It's hard to say. How about if you take Taylor and the Colts play the Giants week 17, are you not taking Barkley on purpose then, or do you not care?
No, I would not care at all, because Barkley can get it. Barkley can catch 10 screen passes. I mean, he's done, like, that was like the year Barkley finished as a top five player. I think he caught like 65 passes. Like, that's like, that's like kind of the thesis behind what Barkley was going to be, because he's actually not a very efficient runner, which seems insane. But if you go look at like his PFF stuff, it's like he's actually like a league average or below league average rusher, because he takes so many tackles behind the line of scrimmage trying to like hit the home run. So it's like he's just not that. He is a, he's like Barry Sanders, right? Literally. I mean, that was the deal. It's like Sanders would just eat all these like minus 3 yards, but like two times a game, he'd make 10 dudes miss and score 70 yard touchdowns.
Yeah. He's Bo Jackson in baseball. It's either home run or out, which we want, you know, like who cares if he gets tackled behind the line?
It's like one of those things where it's like, if you only care about like not losing money, you're probably not taking Barkley. But if you care about winning the stupid $1 million, you got to have a good portion of Barkley, I think, which I'm prepared to hate. I'm prepared to hate myself for that when he pulls a hammy in week 4 and we don't see him again. Like, that's totally in the range of outcomes.
Are you someone who will go as high as you want exposure if you like the player and the cost, or will you try to limit yourself if it gets absurd?
I ended up not having anyone over 30% last year.
30% is pretty high though.
30% is pretty high.
Especially if you're talking like CEH or
which is who it was. So if you had to guess right now, who do you think? I have three guys who are 30% or higher. Who do you think they are?
Okay, I would guess MBS.
He's 23%. He's my sixth highest.
Are they? Can you give me the position groups to?
Two wide receivers, one running back. One of these players is very expensive, a top 40 pick, and then the other ones are like 15, 16, 17, 18th round.
Okay, who is Davis's?
We've already talked about one of them.
The running back. Let me guess. Rojo.
It's Brian Robinson Jr., Washington football team.
You're really high on him. I have quite a bit of him.
Well, I need a fifth running back a lot of the times. And the team is like, guy hasn't even fucking got to training camp, and they're like,
and they're talking about,
and they're like thunder and lightning with Antonio Gibson. So I'm like, they clearly hate Antonio Gibson. I don't know why. He looks good to me. But clearly the coaching staff is not as enamored with him as us fantasy footballers are.
I'm out on McKissick this year because, like, I think Hines last year having a bad season was because of Wentz. Like, Wentz just straight up doesn't throw.
That's interesting. I hadn't even thought about that.
Like, so I'm out on McKissick because of that, but I'm back in on Hines because it's Matt Ryan, you know? So,
yeah,
that could be wrong. Okay, your two wide receivers. Sammy Watkins.
He was. I've stopped taking him because I think he's going to get cut. Sky Moore is high. Sky Moore is 26%, but it's Wandale at 34% and DJ Moore at 30%.
Sky Moore is getting almost too expensive.
It's too much now. It's too much. I think I am good with my position now, but seventh round is really high for him.
Yeah, it's getting crazy. DJ Moore, why are you so much more confident in DJ over Deontay Johnson and Mike Williams and the elite, you know, Kittle and Waller? And
DJ Moore's career has been Andy escaping from Shawshank. He's done nothing but eat shit his entire career. I mean, these are the list of quarterbacks that DJ Moore has played with,
but is that changing this year?
My point is it doesn't matter. My point is DJ Moore has consistently been good in the worst possible situation, so it's not going to get any worse. There's no way the Sam Darnold Matt Corral tandem is worse than what he's had in the past, and there is a 5% chance that Matt Corral is significantly better or a good enough to make DJ Moore more efficient. And they have curtailed his use as a rusher the last couple years. So as a rookie, he ran 13 times for 172 yards, and they never got double-digit rushes after that. And kind of one of the things I'm thinking in the back of my head is, if the Panthers chose to use him like Debo, he would be unfucking believable at it. He would be so good at it. He is like the perfect dude to do that. So like, it's like, one, I like him anyways. Two, I am just pretty confident that I'm not, it's a small loss, big win, where it's like, unless he gets hurt, there's a low chance that this is a bad pick, but he has been so good in bad circumstances that if Corral is good, or if they trade for Jimmy, or if they sign Baker Mayfield, I think it's like rocket ships.
What about Robbie Anderson? I think he's gotten way too cheap.
Yeah, because I think the market is expecting Terrace Marshall to win that job this year. I don't know. I mean, Robbie is probably one of those guys that is a good value, where he goes like the 17th round right now.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Like, we shouldn't be hating on that. I like DJ, but to me, what's his touchdown upside in a season? I just, you know, he's never really given us those.
Well, what if they just stop force feeding whoever the running back is?
CMC? I mean,
it used to be CMC, but last year they were given
Chuba Hubbard
and another, not Mike Davis. It was Mike Davis.
Oh, they signed the old Broncos guy.
I can't even remember his name, but they were, Royce Freeman.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Amir Abdullah were getting touches there as well. I mean, Chuba Hubbard had 5 touchdowns. So it's like, if they just stop doing the feeding of the running backs of the goal line, there's upside there. Or he could just score, like he could just run in a positive variance and score more long touchdowns, because he's done that in the NFL too.
So I like DJ Moore's talent. The why I'm not close to that percentage.
The situation sucks.
Yeah, and I just like to take the pass catchers on good offenses. So like,
yeah,
if you put a gun to my head and you made me choose who has more points this season, Mike Williams or DJ Moore, I would choose Mike Williams. Because I think it can even be argued that Mike Williams should be going ahead of Keenan this year. You know, he's just a touchdown machine. He's big.
And I want to believe so bad, but like every time things have started to go directionally right for Mike Williams, he's either gotten hurt or just became so inefficient. It's like painful. Like there was a stretch.
Not with Herbert though. Not with Herbert really.
There was so he had, remember, he had 8 for 165.
He had that bad stretch, yeah,
against the Browns. And then he had one double digit fantasy game from week 6 to week 12, where he just like evaporated, and also evaporated my DraftKings balance as I kept playing him. and I'm not even blaming that on him. Like it's whatever. That's like kind of outside of his control. But I think by the game that Keenan missed with COVID, where Josh Palmer out targeted him, I think that's maybe kind of indicative of how they feel about him, where it's like, your role is really important on our team. We can't succeed without a guy like you who's a real threat downfield, but we don't know if we ever want to give you the ball 100 times in a season.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's like 70 catches, 10 touchdowns. Who cares? He didn't get, you know,
sure.
Like I'll take that over 1200 yards and 4.
And I mean, his week 18 game last year, 9 for 119 and 1, like you're going to want that on your team. If he does that.
Yeah. I had a lot of him last year, so maybe I'm just like martingaling it. What about DeAndre and Marquise Brown?
I'm in on
Marquise Hopkins. So we know he's not playing 6 games. So you're getting 11, you know, and then you have to deal with the bye. So you're getting, so really 7 games you're not getting, because we don't get that early bye for him. Do you think he's too expensive where he's going, appropriate, or too cheap?
I feel like it's probably appropriate, but I probably only want to take him on where I have Kyler, right? Like I probably only want to do it in that situation, just because it's setting up for week 17 so good, you know?
Yeah.
Cause it's same thing as like taking Odell. Like I want to take Odell for week 17 right now, and because he's so cheap. And I also wonder if, Hopkins gets cheaper as the offseason goes on, where
I think so, yeah.
New shiny names are going to rise, and then it just becomes easy. It's like, oh, Chase Claypool is having a great camp, got to move him up. Oh, George Pickens scored a 20-yard touchdown in the preseason, got to move him. I don't know why. I just went with Steelers wide receivers back-to-back there. you know, just whatever. And then it's like a lizard brain thing where it's like, well, Hopkins isn't going to play, so I'll take this guy ahead of him, or I'll take this guy ahead of him. So I wonder if now is a bad time to be drafting him.
Yeah, I kind of hear that. And he's definitely closer to being done than he is elite.
Yeah.
Before we get out of here, let's talk about with Underdog, if you have the one highest scoring team in the regular season, you win an additional $1 million. Have you built any teams with that in mind? Are you focusing strictly on the playoffs weeks?
No. No, it's because optimizing for that is like, there's just no, I don't think there's any actionable way to do that. And I hope that what they do next year is they keep the $1 million for regular season, but they do it the way the FFPC does, where, you know, it scales down. Because I love the cumulative scoring element.
I would have preferred, I like the playoff weeks personally, because it's like, you know, because I think the,
well, I just want there to be different games available. Like, I'm not telling Underdog to change. Like, if you want the cumulative game, go play Drafters.
No, yeah, I like that Drafters has its contest too. But I've not been building teams really with, like, obviously because only one person gets the $1 million. Like, I've not been building like that. I would have preferred it's like the top 10 teams get 100K each or something like that. But there are actionable things you could do to try to get that. Like, maybe you take like a balance, like you wouldn't overload on rookies if we think that they come on later in the season.
Sure.
You would probably start running back heavy because these handcuff guys maybe come on later in the season. And it's definitely gonna be like a fun sweat if they have a leaderboard or whatever they have going on.
I think next year their plan is to distribute it. I just think their tech wasn't, like, I think their back end stuff wasn't ready to track all that stuff. But, like, I mean, hopefully eventually it's like it gets even bigger and the prize pool is even bigger and the top 100 regular season teams all get paid out or whatever, which I would imagine is the direction that it's heading.
My idea that would be, you know, $1 million for Underdog is they let us submit our BBM teams into a separate, like, single entry contest. So you choose your favorite BBM contest.
Oh, and it's like lineup. $500 to enter. This is my team.
Yeah. And then they could also do weekly, where they literally just do DFS. You submit your favorite set of 150 for their weekly contest. So it's a way for them to rake each week. And then you might actually change your strategy when you draft teams, where you're like, well, I want to get like a Rodgers stack to be able to do it for like a weekly thing.
Yeah.
It's a way for them to get more contests running and whatnot. It sounds like it would be fun. And like the meta would be
probably a nightmare for them to build tech wise, but that would be a way for them to get more rake for sure.
Yeah. I mean, like, and game theory wise, it would be interesting because, like, talking about like the single entry, like, okay, if
you want to have all these options. I want to have a Brady team available. I want to have a Rodgers team available. I want to have a Stafford team available. Like, you want to have all these options.
Well, and for like the submit, if you submitted your favorite team for season long, like if everyone's submitting a Josh Allen team,
right?
Maybe you submit the Jared Goff team or whatever. Sounds fun.
Yeah. All right, dude. What do you have to promo?
So I'm going to be starting some channels here. Didn't get it up and running because of COVID. So really nothing. You can just follow me on Twitter at ChessLiam, and I'll be making more content. And thanks so much for having me on the show, Davis. This was a blast. We'll have to do more in the future.
Yeah, we'll do it. We'll do it again after we've drafted some more teams, after we get some injuries. And I want to do a show a little bit more specifically on Drafters, but I think I've only done three there so far this year. So I want to get like 10 or 15 of those under my belt and some differences in the ADP and the drafts there. But yeah, everyone follow at ChessLiam, the winner of Best Ball Mania 2. And we will be back next week.